This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome. Now, with your host, Jim Rome.
I was in Camarillo, California for about a week, and I found our guest there today, our guest speaker, the one we're going to interview, and his name is Sean Walsh. Sean Walsh.
Yes. Hey, Jim.
Where are you coming from?
I presently live in Jupiter, Florida, so I'm down in the sunny FLA.
No kidding. Here we're suffering in the cold. What do you do?
Well, Jim, I head up, I'm the executive director of a foundation called Strategic Cultural Initiatives. Strategic Cultural Initiatives, we work in alliance with two organizations, Loretta International and Global Priority. And the mission of SCI is to bring godly values and principles to the Florida Department of Corrections.
You mean the prison systems? You're bringing godly principles into the prison systems?
Correct.
How do you do that?
Well, I've been doing prison ministry for about 3 years now, so I had a relationship with three of the maximum security prisons down in South Florida. And I was serving as a music director, and people would ask me where is it you go to church, and I would explain the church and the great fellowship and the great praise and worship, and people would go, I want to go. And I'd have to tell them that, unfortunately, it was a gated community and it was a members-only church. So,
I see. You're pretty funny there, Sean. Well, I met you there, last December. This is when I first come in contact with you and you start telling me these things. And, where were we together?
We were in Rio de Janeiro, down in Brazil.
We
attended, you were my roommate for a Global Awakening mission trip. That was, I think for yourself and for myself as well, it opened up my eyes to the Bible came alive for me.
And that's why I call this series the Second Book of Acts in South America. And the reason I call it the Second Book of Acts, because it was just like the Book of Acts, miracles, the power of God flowing among the people, the healings we witnessed. I think we had at least, with every meeting, 200 miracles of some sort, healings, and you were involved in that.
Yes, I was. A little bit about my background. I went down there with some reservations, I must admit, that I hadn't really had I believed in miracles, I believed in the Holy Spirit and the gift of healing, but I hadn't really seen any tangible experience of that. So a friend of mine invited me, said he would sponsor me to go on the trip, and I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, I'll cover all expenses. I believe you need to see this." And I said, "Well, I'm going to need to pray about that." Okay, I'll go. And from there, as you said, the miracles of healing that we saw night after night after night could only be explained through God.
Power of the Holy Spirit.
And the power of the Holy Spirit.
And Amen. The angels of God is what Amen. We saw. Oh, yeah. It was an experience that I think many a believer should see. And we don't see that so much in the States occasionally. We have so many options here. I think in South America, they don't have as many options. Here we have so much. There they have so much less. And I'm always asking myself, why is God moving so greatly in South America and so little, what appears to me, in the States? And I believe one of the things, it's South America's time for God to visit. What do you think?
Well, Jim, one of the things that I recognize is I said Scripture would come alive to me down there. And one of the things that I noticed amongst the people was a childlike faith, that they didn't sit there and overanalyze and over-intellectualize. They just simply believed. Scripture was read. And as Scripture was read, faith was created through God's Word, to say that Jesus healed. And Jesus said that we would do more than he would do through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's not us doing the healing, it's God working through us. And you would sense the faith on these people, that as they would come and they would believe that they would be healed. Now, on the other end of that, unfortunately, I also recognize why it's difficult for the rich man, the wealthy man, to enter to see the kingdom of heaven, because they don't believe like that.
That's right. Well, one of the things in the Bible, when it talks about it's difficult for a rich man to enter. In fact, that's what it says in the Greek, that it's difficult. It doesn't say that it's impossible. Mm-hmm. Some people do preach, it's impossible. Well, No, that's not what it says in the original Greek, the Koine Greek of the New Testament. It says it's difficult. Mm-hmm. One thing, the Spirit of God's presence was felt there. Mm-hmm. That also encourages our faith. We could feel the presence of God.
Yes. Yes, it was, as I said, it was tangible.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have any stories to tell, things that may have happened to you that you'd like to share with us today?
There would be two. And I think initially I would start with the first evening down there. Now, again, I was excited to go. I was sponsored by a friend of mine, you know, to go. And he and I prayed that morning, and I had to pray for an open mind. And I came against a judgmental or a cynical spirit. You see healers on television. You hear things throughout the media. You know, people being exposed. Greed, all out and out fraud. But I wanted to believe. I wanted to believe that God was operating throughout the world and revealing Himself and being glorified through healings. So I was reminded that first night, because you and I had met at the airport, and now very quickly, this was a whirlwind tour of 2 weeks, you're up on a stage.
Whirlwind tour.
Yeah, you're up on a stage. There's 1,400 people in an old abandoned Pepsi factory. And matter-of-factly, the leader said, now, when God gives you a word of knowledge, speak it out. And I remember thinking to myself, what have I gotten myself into? Like, what am I supposed to do? I was reminded of the prayer that morning, and I said, Father God, please just come against my doubt. I want to believe. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I felt in my spirit that there was a woman there with stomach cancer. And not only that, but I actually believed amongst the 1,400 people that I knew who it was.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
But as your boldness would go, as the microphone came down my way, as it came in front of me, I very sheepishly said that I believe that there's somebody here with a pain. And I put my hand on my left side, that there's a pain down there. And as the microphone moved away, I felt very convicted, and almost as if I heard, no, I said, there's a woman with stomach cancer. So I literally had to write that down in my Bible. And I took a little arrow and I drew it, so that I would remember who she was. And so now there's some more teaching. An atmosphere of faith is developed. And then it's, you know, we need to go down off of the stage, and we kind of separate, and people line up, and, you know, they come to us with their ailments, and we interview them and we pray for them. Well, again, this is a whirlwind tour, and I was seeing things, and I was experiencing things. 10-15 minutes into it, now who shows up on my line but this woman?
Oh, my. The woman with stomach cancer shows up in front of you.
That's what I thought. That's what I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
We had interpreters. So I looked at the interpreter somewhat matter-of-factly, and I said, ask this woman if she has stomach cancer. And now, her reaction was, it was obvious to me that was the case, because her faith just went through the roof, as did mine. Now, you know, with many of these situations, now I prayed for her. Her husband was there. Her two teenage children were there. It was a very emotional prayer, because I could sense in her children and her husband the faith that they had, the love for this woman. His wife,
my,
and their mother was dying. She was deteriorating. Now, I can't tell you, because, again, unfortunately, on a tour like this, I can't tell you that she was healed right there on the spot, that there was proof mm-hmm. that she was healed. I can tell you, though, with this particular one situation, that the joy that she had, that the pain was gone and that the lump was gone, was such that it made a ruckus amongst the little group around us. Now, that was my first night, and I didn't really have enough experience to know what had just happened.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, that was coming. Tumors were coughed up, and cataracts had been removed. So my prayer has been, and my faith would believe, that woman was healed, and she was healed right there, that her faith, through the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God the Father, to His glory, that woman was healed.
Yes, and I think I experienced someone said, I don't know if everybody was healed, but I believe that I experienced with everybody that I prayed with and prayed for, received something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there wasn't one person that did not receive something. This is really with some experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to believe with you that she received a complete miracle.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. And we call that words of knowledge. Is that what they called it? And
you, that was.
And you were standing right in front. You went right up on stage, right with the speaker,
mm-hmm.
just like you were part of the team.
Yes.
And of course you were. And you faced people and you gave that word of knowledge, just like that.
Just like that.
Without like 2 years of seminary, huh?
No, not like that. More like just having the faith of Peter to get out of the boat.
Okay.
And I believe that God would call all of us to that place, because as we sit back and we listen to teachings, or if we rationalize, you can't rationalize the power of God. You can't do it. You can't get your arms around, because you can't explain the things that we saw.
Yeah, sometimes when you rationalize, it seems the power of it seems to get weaker and weaker, you know, as we keep on thinking and thinking. Now, God's not hiding anything from us, but it's still hard for us to wrap our minds around it. How quick, how powerful, how loving God is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what else has happened to you down there that you could tell us about today?
Well, you know, one story, you know, one of the things that we were taught, again, was to, you know, to create an atmosphere of faith so that people could believe. So one of the stories that stands out to me.
When I say stories, it's
the story of each individual person that would come in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little short story there. You know,
mm-hmm.
of my experience of that.
Well, we want to hear that.
Well, so, you know, one of the things we do come up against, it's incredible, because, you know, you pray with people and you invite the Holy Spirit to come in. And over the course of a few hours, you know, there are people. Now, again, we don't know really the depth of their pain. Somebody comes to you and they say that, well, I have a migraine headache that I've had for 5 years. Now, you know, I believe that God can heal a migraine headache. I pray for the Holy Spirit to come and heal this
mm-hmm.
woman, this man, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know me, I'm not real a big show guy, so I'm not mm-hmm. one in the name of Jesus. It's
no.
That's not my style. I earnestly
no.
just trust God, that the power
Amen.
Of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, to his glory for those around. But when you see somebody, when you simply lightly lay hands on their forehead and begin to pray for them and pray for the Holy Spirit to come and release the pain and just lift the burden of the ailment. But when you see this joy come on their eyes, when you
oh,
see
yes.
this light that comes on them, and,
yes.
you know, for some people, the power of God falls on them, and some people fall to the ground, and some people were shaking, and some people were just so joyous in their laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And depending upon what the condition was, you know, sometimes it was literally miraculous. So the one
mm-hmm.
of a few miraculous experiences that I had was, we were about a week into it, and one of the things we need to come against just in our flesh and any things is becoming cocky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's, you see all of these people getting healed, and it's just, you start coming, you know, maybe not nonchalant.
I mean, you begin to believe in healing and the power
Amen.
Of God in a hurry.
Amen.
Like,
and so I was very, 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 I was confident that God was there, and God was working through us, and that God was healing
mm-hmm.
hundreds of people. But then one night, an older family comes up to me, and these people were late 50s, easily, I'm thinking early 60s. It was a man and a woman. And they come up, and they have a little boy with them, and it's their son. And he's about four, maybe 4.5 years old. And I had recognized him. We were there 3 nights in this one particular church. And I had recognized this little boy because he would run through the whole church. And he was a bundle of energy. But this boy had been, he was born with Down syndrome. And as I said, I recognized him and the smile on his face running through. But as the interpreter came and I got to know a little bit more about the boy, I came to realize that he had never spoken, and that he was deaf. He had just never spoken anything. He had this brilliant smile that could just kind of melt you and make you smile. But I didn't realize that he had never really spoken. He just would run and smile and right then it wasn't a crisis of faith, but it was I think what was became difficult for me initially was just to see the look on the mother's face, that she was so desperate.
Desperate.
For her son to be able to speak.
Oh,
and so that takes away right then, I have to tell you, any of that assuredness that I had quickly was gone. I was like, God, why am I in this situation? I could sense her faith. I mean, I could literally sense that woman's faith that God was going to heal her little boy. And hers was much stronger than mine, because I was humbled quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I praise God. I was reminded of what I had been seeing the previous few days, and I believed in the power of God, and I had come down here because I wanted to see this. I wanted to see God performing miracles so that I would believe it, that I could come back and that I could tell people in my life and people that whose paths that I crossed, that I have seen the miracle healing power of God at work and his kingdom unfolding around the planet. And praise God, I got back into that mindset, and I got down on my knees. And as I got down there to see him, he came and he put his arms around me and gave me a hug. And then that little bit of courage I had became desperate to cry out to God. And I looked at the interpreter, and I just kind of waved him, and he didn't have to come down. I was going to speak directly to the boy.
You were kneeling on the floor,
kneeling down,
holding a little boy.
Holding him. And I was praying, and as I was kneeling down, his mother was to my right, his father was to my left, he was right in front of me. And I just started praying, and I tried to listen. And I listened, and I listened, and I prayed, and I felt, well, the first thing I was going to do was I came against the deaf and the dumb spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus, in nome de Jesus. The Spiritus Sancti, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to loose that boy, to loose the grip that you have on this boy. And as I did that, I then just sensed, I just then cried out to Jesus. I said, Jesus, please open this boy's ear. You know, may your father be glorified. May this mother hear her little boy's voice. Just, Father, and I was praying, and I was, I mean, I'm welling up, and in nome de Jesus, in nome de Jesus, Father God, please, please, please open this boy's ear. In nome de Jesus. And that little boy looked at me, and he goes, Jesus!
Oh,
now his mother nearly fainted, as did I. Because he already had this beaming smile, but now there's this, like, his mother was, everybody knows this little boy because he's just always running through the church, so you could hear through the, you know, it's kind of spreading.
Oh,
John David spoke, and then he turns to his mother, and I don't remember the exact phrases, because it was like for mommy and for daddy, but it was like mama, mamacita, something. And she, picks up a little boy, and as she picks him up and she's kissing him, and he's saying mama, 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 and then he looks at his father, and it was padre or something again, probably, but and the thing about this is, we're doing this now, you want to just stay and revel in this in this moment, but as that's happening now, that everybody else who's in the line is pushing forward.
Yeah, they want to get to you.
Because now they want God to heal them. So as much as you want to just sit there and revel in that, in the miracle that just happened, you can't, other than that you praise God. And you keep that testimony on your heart, and you get into situations like we're in now, brother, and you speak it. And you speak it so that others can hear it, and then others can believe. And as I said, the blessing for me on that trip, the ultimate blessing, was that I got out of the boat, was that trusted that if I would believe in the miracle healing powers of God through the power of His Holy Spirit, and I could empty myself and get myself out of the way, that God would use me. Little old me.
Yes, little old me.
Little old me.
That's how I felt too, you know. Overwhelmed by what God has done. This is truly a great story, my friend. And Sean and I are relating it to you to encourage your faith. God is still a healer today.
Amen.
He's still a deliverer. And every one of you out there in the sound of our voices, receive today this truth, and that God is a healer for you. If you're sick, you're in a bed of sickness today. If you're suffering with cancer, and there's someone out there today that's suffering right now with throat cancer, and you right now, if you would take your hand and place it on that throat right now, put your hand there, you're going to be a faith healer today, you know. And here you go. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that cancer. You go in the name of Jesus. You cease and desist your work in this body, in this throat, in this lung area. You cease and desist, and I speak healing, the power of God and healing to enter right in this area, restoration, restoration of this body, and we'll give you the praise, Lord, forever and ever. And my friend, when you receive that healing, take time and write a note to me and let me know. Let me know what God's done. It don't have to be a complicated note, just a short sentence. Some of the stuff that I receive is barely readable, but I'm glad to get it. Let the world know what God has done for you. Let the world know. Well, I thank you, Sean, for coming in today.
It was my pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure to know you. Let's see now. We've been roommates twice on these tours, and we're learning. But you know what? We're hungry for more. I want more. And I used to think that was a sin to be always asking for more. But this is how we've been trained with Global Awakening. More, Lord. And you know, when I'm praying for people, if I say more, Lord, it seems to double up what I've been praying for. More power.
You know, Jim, one of the things that I've noticed, and I noticed it in Brazil, and for people that are listening on the other end of this today, is had experience here this week that I meet people who they don't feel worthy of it. They just say, you know, it's just there's people that are more desperate or need help more than they do, or they can't get their arms around some of the things that they've done. That they've done things that because of what they've done, God's not going to heal them. That they passed some, you know, they passed some mark in the sand that says, "Oh, he would have healed me, but when I did this, he decided I'm in that group that he doesn't heal people." And I just want to come against that lie.
Yes.
One of the things that we both saw in Brazil is that we cannot put our God into a box.
No, you can't.
His power is limitless. His ability to heal is limitless. His
many
love
ways
is
he comes
limitless.
And heals us. Many ways.
And so, you know, as you were speaking that on the radio today, that it is in that faith that we are healed. That you know, that belief. And so I would just want to encourage people, if there's anybody listening today, that there's any doubt. I mean, one of the things we have to do first is we have to believe just how much God loves us.
Amen.
And that's one of the things in Brazil that we spoke about. Though somebody might not have been physically healed on the spot, when they left, we wanted to make sure that they knew that God loved them.
They had that contact, made a contact with God. You know, just quickly here, I'll enter do something here. The first person I prayed for was stomach cancer, kept on insisting they were not worthy. And I went to their home and I could hear their stomach churning and they insisted they were not worthy. Well, that person that by the next morning had passed away. The next person though that I prayed for with stomach cancer, they did not bring up the fact that they were not worthy and they were healed. So my first experience, I felt so brokenhearted when that person did not receive. I couldn't convince them that God just wanted to heal them because that's his nature. God is a healing God no matter what you've been trained and what you believe. I know it may seem far away from what you believe, but God is still willing and able to bring healing for your life.
Amen.
Well, that's all the time we have now. I'd like to thank you again for tuning in. And Sean, God bless you. And until we meet again.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
It's a pleasure as always.
Oh, praise God. Oh, that was wonderful. I want to thank you again, Sean. I want to thank you, Lord, for that wonderful testimony. Can you imagine a boy healed of Down syndrome? Wow. Wow, that's my God. And my friend, that can be your God too. It's not too late wherever you're at. It's not too late to make Jesus your Lord and Savior today. Wherever you're at right now, tell the Lord you want him. Tell him you're sorry for wasting time you're sorry for your sins, and simply ask him to forgive you. Open up your heart and say, Lord, come into my heart today.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need. Peace talks, they are good, and talk of peace we should, but worthless with Jesus left out. To him let's bow our knees, for he's the Prince of Peace, and he's the worldwide need without a doubt. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome.
Would you like to be part of this ministry, this radio ministry, and share these type of messages? I don't think these messages are heard anywhere else on secular radio where we reach a new audience. So be a part by getting on our webpage. Our webpage is globalairforce.net. Once again, our webpage is globalairforce.net.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.